I am the president of handwritinguniversity.com. We have campuses, of course, in America. We have an annual conference here, sometimes more. This year we have just one annual conference, as well as a campus in India, Taiwan, and opening China this year. So we actually have quite a worldwide organization of people using handwriting analysis to change lives, to make money, to help their clients, as well as just general self-improvement. Tonight's call is a preview call, hopefully to get you excited about learning more from an assortment of professors that we have at our annual conference. And we have got a lot of exciting things in store for you in this next 55 minutes. We are recording this call, so if you're listening to it via recording, then welcome, and we're glad to get the chance. For those of you that are live, you have the opportunity to ask questions. And if you have any noise in the background, in case you're into teleconferences or teleclasses, let me tell you what the simple code is. The code of *6 allows you to mute yourself on your end. If you're on a cell phone or any other phone, you could just use whatever mute is there. But that always helps if you have any dogs barking or kids or any TV in the background. What I prefer not to do, and sometimes I may have to do, is I may have to actually mute everyone but me and my guest. And I prefer not to do that because I'd love for you to be able to interact. So if we hear some noise, there may be a 10-second silence while I mute everybody and bring people back on. So bear with me as we do that. We actually have lots of questions. Deborah, I know you've got a list of great things to go over, and I just discovered that we had about 74 people submit questions if we run out of time. So we have plenty of stuff to ask you as our expert, and let's get right down to it. My guest tonight is not only a hypnotist, as a working counselor in the Texas area, but she's also one of our speakers. And one of the great things about being someone, a healer that heals people, she uses all the tools that works. And I've known Deborah for a few years, and what I like best about her is she does integrate all the different approaches. She's not arrogant in any way. She doesn't claim to know all the answers. When she showed up at our handwriting seminar years ago, she said, you know, it seems to me like handwriting analysis would be a perfect fit as a hypnotist. And so, Deborah, let me get a little more about your background. I didn't give you a profound introduction, but you've been doing hypnosis professionally for over 5 years. Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct. Uh-huh.
Over 5 years. You work in Dallas.
Yes.
And if they want to learn more about you, your website is?
HypnosisForRealSolutions.com.
Cool. HypnosisForRealSolutions.com. Now, I know she sounds like she's about 16, but trust me, she is a mature adult. You have the cutest voice in the whole world, and you're really adorable and such a professional on top of it. So this year at the conference, you'll be speaking in Dallas, Texas on a very interesting topic, and we're really throwing out the advanced handwriting this year. And honestly, let me tell you why, is I got tired of teaching the same thing. We've taught similar seminars in the past. We've done all the basics. We've recorded all the basics at least twice on our DVDs and CDs. And in fact, most of the people that sign up for the conference will be getting a copy of last year's DVD. So I wanted to do something special. I wanted to bring people like you, Deborah, in that not only taught, you know, something new to everybody else, but taught me something. I've been doing hypnosis since I was 18, not as a subject, but professionally as a hypnotist. I used to travel the world. I don't know if you know this, Deborah, but my father and I, my father is a co-founder of Handwriting University. We used to travel the country helping people stop smoking and lose weight, using only our voice in something called hypnosis. Did you know that?
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yep, that's how I got started as a public speaker. Somebody said, Bart, I can't believe you're so young. You're such a good speaker. I said, well, go on the road and give 4 speeches a day to a room full of people that want to stop smoking and lose weight. You would get pretty used to speaking in public, too.
Yes.
What is your specialty as a hypnotist or as a practitioner of hypnosis? What are your clients come to you mainly for?
I would say the top two are for weight management and to stop smoking. And then beyond that, it's just all kinds of life issues for motivation, procrastination, for sports enhancement, for trichotillomania of pulling the hair out. It's just life issues after that. Fears of flying, fears of bugs.
But anything. Now, for those of you that have never been, anybody on the phone has never been hypnotized, say aye.
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 So there's a lot of people here that have never been hypnotized and probably aren't a hypnotherapist. Let's talk about that for a second, because obviously if you've had a graphodectomy, you do hypnosis or a handwriting, you know a little about what handwriting analysis is. But, Deborah, explain what hypnosis is and what it is not so people can really understand what you're doing is so is so natural and so useful for everybody, no matter what religion and beliefs they have.
Right. Just like I explained to the new clients that come in that have not experienced hypnosis, a lot of times they'll think that hypnosis is like going to sleep, and they'll wake up afterwards and not know what happened, not have heard my voice at all. But it's not like that at all. It's, in fact, it's just the opposite. They will hear what I'm saying. It's like a state of being in a daydream where you hear what's going on around you, but it's kind of fuzzy sounding. It's just a very relaxed, daydreaming type of state. And what I have found that's really amazing since I started using handwriting in conjunction with my hypnosis is that when a person sits down and begins to write in cursive writing, they're very focused on an emotional level. And I discovered that that very act right there is a light, puts them into a light level of hypnosis just by doing that, because it accesses their emotions, it accesses their subconscious mind, and it just puts them into a light state of hypnosis even before we start the session.
Now let me elaborate. I always get all kinds of confusion about being hypnotized, including people who say, hey, I've never been hypnotized. They've tried to hypnotize me. I'm just too smart. You know, you can't control me. And then I've got friends. I live in Hollywood, so, of course, there's lots of Scientologists in Hollywood who think hypnosis is really bad. How you never put someone under and give them sort of uncontrollable issues. And my answer to that is, if you've ever watched television, you're getting hypnotized all the time. You're getting embedded commands. You're getting commercials. You're getting people to tell you to buy my product, to, you know, buy my detergent, to drive this car. You're constantly getting messages at the conscious and unconscious level. What real hypnosis is, at all levels, it's simply giving you messages. And a good hypnotist will assist you in finding that sort of relaxed state of mind where you can receive messages that are somehow helpful to you to help you change your behavior that can bypass the normal conscious resistance. I would say very less than probably half of our clients ever have that sort of, oh my God, I blacked out, yet I'm awake now. They forget everything about hypnosis. And so that's the biggest confusion is if you see a stage hypnotist show, like a Las Vegas show, people tend to black out and they don't remember anything. That's traditionally not what I've experienced as a hypnotherapist. Deborah, is that traditionally what they experience or is that the exception?
Here's the difference between stage shows and what I do in my office is that, number one, you're exactly right, Bart, is that you're always...
The conference is in lecture mode.
You're always in control of yourself and your actions when you're in any state of hypnosis. You're never out of control. But the difference between in a private session and a stage show is that the person goes up there knowing that they're going to be up there for entertainment. And first of all, the hypnotist asks for volunteers, so he usually gets the extrovert, outgoing people that want to be seen. And then there are times when the hypnotist will actually tell them that they're not going to remember. So I never tell people that in my sessions, that they're not going to remember what I said, because I want them to remember. In a private session, it's just the opposite. You want them to remember. But in a stage show, it's just for entertainment.
Right. So, I mean, you know, you're not seeing fake people, but you are seeing people that are playing along with some of the fun stuff.
Absolutely.
Most people in the organizations, especially people that are professionals, they actually don't even study the stage hypnosis. They see it sort of as a entertainment versus a therapeutic way to go. I think a lot of people would really enjoy getting certified as hypnotherapists, even if you don't ever plan to practice it. Just the power of language and understanding the power that we have within our own relationships with our children, that actually saying things in certain phrases will make a profound effect on whether people take action or not. And I think if any of you read some of my books, I constantly talk about certain phrases and language choices that we've made, and you can control yourself and you can help influence others to make really good decisions. So if you've never studied hypnosis, it's not a bad thing to study just for fun and just for your family. Don't you agree, Deborah?
Yes, absolutely, because, Bart, I'm also a certified instructor to teach people how to become a hypnotist through the National Guild of Hypnotists. And the first thing I teach my students is that hypnosis is a very natural state to all humans. We go in and out of hypnosis about 5 to 7 times every day. When we awake in the mornings, like you said, watching TV is very hypnotic. There's something even called highway hypnosis, when we're hypnotized by on the highway by driving. So we go in and out of it without realizing that it was hypnosis all day long, so it's nothing to be fearful of at all. And that's the first thing I teach my students.
Yeah, the one thing that made it so clear to me is when I was living in Dallas, Texas. I live in Los Angeles now. We actually had a retail store, and we used to sell these mind machines, which are light sound devices, that basically the sales pitch for these little machines were you put the glasses on and the sound, and they put you into an altered state. And the way they described this, they had a chart of sleep. And sleep would be delta, which is the brain wave when you're absolutely dead asleep. And then it had different phases, all the way up to what they call alpha, which I think roughly correlates to that light, almost asleep area where you can hear the water fountain dripping and you know the noises outside, as what you're calling hypnosis. So really, hypnosis is a fancy word for the alpha mind state. And in that state, as a therapist or a counselor, you can make profound changes and suggestions, such as you're going to eat less, you're going to exercise more, you're going to stop smoking, that stick when otherwise it wouldn't stick. Is that a fair way to say it?
Absolutely. And the reason that is in that state, in the alpha state, is because in the alpha state, you're bypassing your conscious mind. The critical factor of the conscious mind is just a different way of saying that your conscious mind sometimes is overprotective, like an overprotective parent that's too protective that will keep you from doing things that you want to do. So when you let that critical factor just move over to the side, now not drop off to sleep like at night, but just move over to the side, let your subconscious mind be up front and just take it all in. That's, like you said, that's in that alpha state when you're more, your suggestibility to take in those suggestions for change is heightened greatly.
And that's cool. Now, as a hypnotist, you've of course worked with everything from the weight loss, and there's sometimes scripts that you read, and sometimes there's not a script. There's not even a plan. I'm sure you go in there and someone says, "I've got this problem with something," and your job is to, as a really talented hypnotist, is to figure out what suggestion is going to be the most powerful to make people change. I guess that's really what they pay you for, right? Is they want to make different decision processes so they have different results. Is that about right?
And that's the benefit of a private personal session, too, because in the beginning when I first started out, I used a lot of different scripts, and there are some really great hypnotic scripts out there. But then you can take that script and just only use it as a foundation, but then tailor it to that person's specific personal needs. There are always different reasons why one person smokes and another person smokes. Different reasons why a person feels like they cannot get rid of that weight as a reason why another person. So you tailor it and you personalize it. So at that point, then it's almost spontaneous. I'm thinking at the spur of the moment, what way am I going to go? What technique am I going to use now for her personal situation?
Well, that's true, and I know that because we not only have done the seminars with group sessions, and they'll say, well, do you get 100%? Well, I don't know if we ever get 100% of anything. I know medicine doesn't get 100%, yet the FDA still approves medicine for many things.
Right.
They get 88% or 97% or whatever. We would normally get between 80 and 85% of the room. When on one-on-one counseling, it's much more because you can find that one exception of why they smoke or the one exception of why they're overweight. You know, if somebody got molested when they're 8, that's a totally different reason why they overeat than if they, you know, love sugar and they associate sugar with warm, fuzzy feelings of being at home. Totally different reasons, and if you can establish those reasons, the root cause, you can customize your script. I remember talking to Jay. He monitored this call, and he helped arrange it. He and I have a website called weightlossdoctor.com, and essentially that is a website with simple online hypnosis. And, of course, it doesn't work for everybody, but it covers most of the key reasons. And if you fall into that general category of what are the key reasons why you're overeating, hey, you know, that really works. And we know it works because we get very few returns. And also we have the same thing published in our Stop Smoking site. I think that one actually is my father's. It's called stopsmoking-hypnosis.com. I have to ask Jay if those are on the specials page that you got. But basically, you know, even online. So if you haven't even ever tried that, that's a cool place to start until you get to meet Deborah. Debbie, let me switch gears here. You are speaking at our conference about sort of the integration of handwriting, which is, in my opinion, the fastest and most effective psychological assessment tool, and hypnosis, which, in also my opinion, is one of the fastest tools you can change to facilitate personal change. How do you think those are married? Why do you think those are such good bedfellows?
It has been amazing, the difference, because first of all, in the beginning of my session, I would always have the person tell me what are their goals, what do they want out of these hypnosis sessions, what would they consider success at the end of the sessions, and then I would have them just verbally tell me. But then when I started learning about handwriting analysis, I had them begin to write it in their own cursive handwriting, and I called it the future vision of themselves. And they would write it down on this blank piece of paper. And this was done during the initial first interview. So I could, that served two purposes. First, I knew what then they wanted out of the session. Then I could take that handwriting and look at it and see immediately, well, do they really believe in themselves? Are they going to take my suggestions and really listen and do these things? I could tell all this from there. I could tell if they were a perfectionist, for example. And then when I begin to look at this in their first initial interview and then say something like, well, I see here that sometimes you worry too much about what other people think about you, then I realized it was kind of funny. They begin to say, are you psychic too? But then they didn't realize I was seeing that from their handwriting.
Now, do you always tell them that you're a handwriting expert? I know when I work with corporate clients, the HR department, they don't always reveal that they're going to have a handwriting analyst look at the writing. They have a fear that maybe people will change their writing, or they'll disguise their writing, or they'll do only block printing. Do you always let them know you're analyzing handwriting as a counselor, or do you sometimes keep that private?
I don't before I ask them to do it, and here's why. So when I first started telling them that was going to look at their handwriting, they would try to be very neat, and they were very cautious, and they wrote really slowly, and they normally wouldn't. So now I just say, write down in your cursive handwriting how you see yourself. And so then afterwards I tell them why I wanted them. And most people, I've never had anyone that did not like the fact that I was analyzing their handwriting. In fact, they've always been very pleased and have considered that as an addition to their session, something that they were getting that they didn't even know they were getting, like a bonus or something, because then I begin to actually show them some changes they could make to make their sessions more successful. For example, if I saw a loop in a Y with a turn down, the fear of success, I knew right away that was one of the things in the very beginning, first session, that I suggested that they begin to consciously change and to actually practice and work on it. Because if they want their sessions to succeed, then not only do they want to have these suggestions put into their subconscious mind through hypnosis, but they want their handwriting to reflect that belief as well, to be in congruent, to be in harmony with everything they do be successful. So I right away look at the T's and the Y's. The T's to see if they have self-confidence, and the Y's or the loops to see if they have any the downward turn for fear of success.
Well, that's really good, especially those who are taking notes. So, you know, a lot of people are going to ask, well, what do you have them write and what's more important? At the conference, we're going to give a copy of what your intake sheet, which is the actual one that you use, mm-hmm. and you've given us permission to copy that in the manual for the conference. And actually, here's what I use. You know, this is word for word what I hand the client. This is sort of what we have them write. And it has enough handwriting to find those T's and the Y's and the G's. One of the things that I think will be clear by the end of the third day is that advanced handwriting analysis is not a collection of strokes and squiggles that you've never read before. Advanced handwriting analysis is taking many of the same concepts that are considered fundamentals and putting them in a new context. So it's cross-contextualizing is a fancy word I like to use. So taking what, you know, the basics, okay, now this is a client, how does this affect our hypnosis session? I've never done a hypnosis session and not looked at the writing one-on-one. I've done it in groups. But to me, that's the most important aspect is, you know, what are their deepest core issues? You know, what is this person struggling with? And what I asked earlier is, do you always tell them? They pretty much know when they come to me what I do, because that's what I'm famous for, is the handwriting. In your case, they come as hypnotists. I think if they fill out the intake, it's best not to tell them what's going to happen. But it's always best to give them a bonus. And that's a great thing. So if there's any hypnotherapist in the line, here's the way I would approach it. I remember a couple of days ago I was at my chiropractor, and, you know, I pay her $55 a session. you know, to align my spine and crack my back and do what she does. And once in a while, she'll say, you know what, let's do something different. So she'll do the crack in the back and align the spine, and then she'll do some NET, which is called neuro-emotional, gosh, I know someone on the phone probably knows what NET is. I heard the last one. Any conditioning. And I've got you on mute, so you're probably yelling out the answer right now. But anyway, so she'll do this little thing. It takes an extra 5 or 6 minutes, but I feel like she's given me an extra $50 or $60 treatment and not charged me for it. And that's going to create a lot of rapport with your clients because you've given them the special bonus like a Myers-Briggs test or personality profile. Even though they're paying for that hour of time, you're giving them this bonus of this profile, and you're giving them some insight into who they are. You're also creating, which I think is one of the most valuable aspects of a relationship, is rapport.
Yes.
I mean, when they feel like you understand them, Deborah, I mean, how much easier are they to work with?
Oh, it's so much easier. In fact, they're all so excited about, usually they've been very excited about the handwriting part. That was something unexpected. And I've had a lot of people even say that they went home and asked their children to write something down to see if their children had low self-esteem, to begin to change even the way their kids think about themselves while they're still young. And I had people tell me that I didn't even ask them to do that. They just got excited about it and went home and did it themselves.
Right, and now if there's any therapists in the thing, I have a lot of therapists that actually have Graphodex or books in their office. The client gets excited about it and says, you know what, you should probably take a Graphodex home or something to analyze your kid's writing. I mean, you can't be as good as me, but you learn the basics. You know, it's another $20 on top of your session. And now they're talking about you. It's one of probably the best little inventions ever, and I think it's one way to, A, bring you more referrals, because you're different than every other hypnotherapist, and you have an added skill that creates, a more depth of understanding what the problems are. And we'll get into that in a second, because I think that's really important, is using all the psychological assessment tool to craft your session. Because if you've got 5 or 6 major, what I call hell traits, you're probably not going to handle those all in one session, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? That reminds me too, Bart, of something that's very beneficial for me once I've started using handwriting is when you're in a profession, whether it be hypnotist, counselor, psychologist, where you're on a schedule and you may have someone waiting out in the waiting room, so you need to pretty much stay on that schedule. But once in a while, there'll be a client come in that I can tell right away from looking at their handwriting, they're going to be very talkative. And they're
right.
going to take up some time. I'm going to have to be more aggressive in directing the time and listening to them, but then stopping them. So, you know, that's a time issue in this profession. It's very important, too, to know whether somebody's – it's good to know right away if somebody's going to be talkative or not, even before they start the talking.
It is. And talkative is, of course, shown in an open – O or an open A on the top, one of those really basic things.
Mm-hmm.
And then also if you see like, you know, split personality, which is the slant back and forth, that's always going to be more of a challenge. If you've got the fear of success, if you've got any of the, you know, the major issue traits, their well of issues is going to run very deep. And what that means is what they tell you, the problem that they're coming in to handle,
mm-hmm.
such as my wife is, really mean and, you know, I'm temperamental. I mean, that's just one problem. And normally you have to address that problem, but you may look at the writing and go, wow, this is not about the temper and this is not about the wife. This is about the mother and the paranoia and the anger at women. And, you know, you start going down this rabbit hole from the writing and then you've got a better plan for the client. So he or she knows this is not like a one session deal.
Yes,
you know.
A lot of times people are not going to tell you everything, or hardly sometimes anything in the first session up front, but you'll be able to tell more about them than they realize through their handwriting, and they'll just let them get comfortable with telling it to you later, but then you'll already know that. You'll already know part of it from just looking at the handwriting. For example, if I see even a DE or a...
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Or an E-plus slant writer, I'll know right away if I'm going to have to regress them back to some childhood event that could be traumatic, that even the DE slant person in a state of hypnosis could go into a state of hysteria.
Really? So, let's repeat that. Now, if you're not familiar with handwriting, a DE slant is someone who slants with a heavy rightward slant. E plus would be almost tilted toward the ground. And those people are much more expressive and much more responsive to their feelings, which means if you watch a movie with an E plus writer or you watch somebody with a straight up and down writer, which one's going to cry easier?
Say it again?
Which one's going to cry easier? The E plus or the AB writer?
E plus, yeah.
The E plus always, unless of course the writing is very tiny and that offsets them a little bit. But what's so fascinating, you know that they might fall into hysteria if you request them. Is that what you said, Deborah?
Yes. Now, the reason I said even a DE writer may not, in a conscious state, may not go into a state of hysteria. They may have mood swings and be very emotional, but they may not go into hysteria on a conscious level. But when they are in hypnosis, that's going to emphasize all their emotions. So then it's kind of like they slip over into E-plus when they're in a hypnotic state. So you want to be very careful with the techniques that you use with a person that could go into hysteria during a state of hypnosis. So that's very good to know that ahead of time before you even choose your technique by just looking at their handwriting.
That's great. Okay, excellent. I've taken us off mute, so if anybody wants to talk, they can. Is anybody on the phone, is a hypnotherapist, and have any comments right now on how have you used this to add to the conversation? I think Nikolai had emailed, but I'm not sure if he or she is on the phone as well. Well, good. Any other questions for Deborah before we keep moving on with our agenda?
Actually, I am. I was just not talking.
Oh, well, you're so sweet to be so courteous. What is your name?
Nicola.
Oh, Nicola. I'm sorry. It's like Nikolai, like maybe a Russian, Russian. Now, have you used handwriting and hypnosis combined yet?
I never thought to use them combined, and this is very enlightening to me.
But you use them separately?
Yeah, I do use them separately, but I've never thought to put that connection together.
Can you go back and get your clients now and look at their intake sheets and kind of add another dimension for you?
And about, you know, what she was saying about getting, very emotional. Boy, I wish I'd have thought of that sooner because that has happened before. You know? And I'm also thinking like dissociative people. I think you could probably pick that out beforehand and be a little forewarned.
For what?
Now, describe dissociative for those of you that aren't so much trained.
People that the dissociative disorder is like used to be called multiple personality, but I wasn't even going to the disorder. Just when you dissociate so much.
Oh, yes.
And you stop feeling things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then
you're almost numb, right? You're not connected with your feelings. You seem cold. You seem distant. You seem a little bit depressed, right?
A real problem during hypnosis. Because they're so resistive then because they don't want to feel.
And here's the thing that you may be interested in, too, in choosing even an induction technique, is to look and see if they have the stubborn traits, the TPs and the V's and the T's. If they have the TPs that show stubbornness, you may want to not go with something like a progressive relaxation. You may want to go with something more aggressive, quick, aggressive type of thing because they're going to be resistant and stubborn.
Very good, yes. I could see how that would work.
Yeah.
Well, stubbornness is one of the things that I see right off the bat, and I know we can't address that issue. It's like driving with a brake on.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to address the stubbornness, and there may be a root cause for that stubbornness. It's a great question. Somebody had emailed in and said very simply, and I think this we could spend 10 hours answering this question, especially all of us that have had some experience. But the question is from Pam, and it says, it is possible to tell about an emotional trauma, when it occurred, and what type it is. And in my experience, almost all major negative issues have a root cause, and all of them could fall in the category of a negative emotion. Deborah, do you think that's a generalization, or that's kind of a fair statement?
Yes, that's definitely a fair statement. Because it's something like that, it's just kind of like peeling an onion to get to the root cause.
So is there a technique that you use to find out when it occurred? I know there are. In fact, there's some people speaking at the conference that will talk about, in handwriting, certain aspects of the lower zone whys, which reveal certain traumas and what age. That's obviously a shortcut. If that's true, we'll have to find that out then, because I have not seen the evidence firsthand. And secondly, even when you do timeline therapy or age regression, you don't always know if you're at the root cause or you're at a similar reoccurring issue. Is there a technique that you've used to figure that out, or is that just a matter of experience, Deborah?
I have not used handwriting to know my age to find out whether I've gotten to a root cause or what age it could have happened. I have not discovered that one yet. That would be very interesting to know if we could find that out. But I do, my technique that I use is age regression, just going back to the point of where when you go back so far to where that something is no longer a memory, if something is something that they just remember, if they just remember it happening, then you still need to go back. Then once they experience something as a brand new memory, then typically, most of the time, that's your root cause.
Interesting. Great answer on that. The techniques that I found the most useful, and again, this all depends on your training as hypnotist or how much you read, is I learned a lot of timeline therapy, which was, I think, coined by Richard Bandler, but really mastered and taught well by Mr. Tad James. And he taught the process of finding a timeline or a structure of time, floating above it, and then kind of asking, is this the root cause, or is there a previous time when you felt this emotion? And you get to the point where they say, you know, I'm before the event and I feel no emotion, that tends to mean that that event occurred there, or that hatred or anger or negativity, whatever that root emotion is getting. And that's always been really effective for me. I've done this technique in India using an event which was a blind event, which means they didn't even tell me what the event was. They just had a real issue with this event. I found out later it has nothing to do with her husband. I think it was her for cheating on her. But, you didn't have to know. You can call it X. You can call it Y. And you can still find out when the first time this emotion showed up, in her case, jealousy, and you can start dealing with those emotions and repercussions of that.
Yes.
So good. You have a couple of interesting stories that I want you to share about how you've, A, used the handwriting, but also solved the problem of some of your more interesting clients. And the first one you mentioned to me before the phone call was you had a guy that was a sports athlete, and he had to he had a fear of tripping, he had a fear of falling during his final test.
Yes, he was trying out for a team, and part of the test to be accepted to be on the team was to run up and down.
The conference is in lecture mode.
To run up and down bleachers in a certain amount of time. And as he practiced, his fear built up about it. He began tripping and falling as he practiced for this exam day, getting closer and closer, this test. And so finally he came to me and told me about this fear, and I noticed the one thing in his handwriting immediately was the very, the first thing that we learn in handwriting analysis is the T-bar. It was very, very low, so that's the first thing I recommended. You know, and I, something very interesting as I begin to use hypnotic phrases on a waking level, alliteration. Alliteration is where you just use a consonant that is the same a lot in one sentence. And so instead of telling him to raise his T-bar, I said, take your T-bar to the top. As you run to the top of the bleachers, think about taking your T-bar to the top. And during, even in the hypnosis session, when he was in a hypnotic state, I talked about raising his T-bar to his subconscious mind and compared it to him running to the top of the bleachers, taking his T-bar to the top with confidence as he went to the top of the bleachers. And he did pass that test, and he's a member of that team now.
Wow, so he did. So is that a professional team he made it?
It's a college team.
Excellent. Wow. I don't think most people think of handwriting as a therapeutic tool that's that powerful. And I sure didn't believe it when I first heard it. And again, this phone call, of course, is not the time to go in detail why graphic therapy works. But Do you think it's the power of just suggesting it, Deborah, or is there also some science behind the actual physical movement in your hand, the actual neurophysiology of changing that handwriting? What's your opinion?
Yes, once he began to actually consciously at first change that one letter, because part of his homework that I had him do between his first and second sessions was to take a blank piece of paper and before he went to bed at night to write an entire page of lowercase T's with very high T bars. And he was changing that on a conscious level first, and as he did, he was actually creating new neural pathways in his brain. And psychologists have found that this is true, that that's why it's more of a science of the brain now than they ever thought it was. And he was actually changing the way his brain thought about himself, the way he thought about himself and his success, new neural pathways, as he changed that T-bar. So, yes, indeed, it was actually a physical thing and a thought process.
Yeah, and that's been my understanding as well. One of the things I'll present at the conference, and those of you who already have the DBDs from last year, I'll present some of that same things again. There was some research studies in National Geographic which had really beautiful color pictures of people's brains and people's neural pathways, and actually shows you how they connect to each other. And there's very much of a difference just depending on the movements, as well as different thoughts, different languages, different areas of the brain are stimulated simply by speaking Spanish and speaking English. So it really is quite chemical and physical, and definitely not just psychosomatic. Although most psychology and self-improvement is based on the fact that if we can change our belief systems, we can change our thought processes from a conscious level or unconscious level, your life can change. And I agree completely. I just think it's so cool that we have the ability to change people from the physical level as well as simply a conversational level. What is the, you used a word that I had just learned before we got on the phone call, trickle-tell anemia, is that correct?
Trickle-tell anemia.
What is that, and how would you possibly cure that? That sounds fascinating.
That affects usually more women than men, but it's due to stress or low self-esteem or both. Anxiety, when women will pull out, when men or women, their hair on their head or either their eyebrows or even their eyelashes, maybe one or all of them, depending on the severity of the case. But I have found, for some reason, I have a lot of those cases. And I started looking and comparing the handwriting and all of the trichotillomania cases. And every single one of them had the traits of being a perfectionist. And so I began to ask them, you know, to find out how they felt when they were doing this, what triggered the first initial time they would put their hand up to their hair and begin to pull it out and pull so hard on it that it would actually come out in clumps. They just felt like that it was not, like one lady told me that when she would feel one hair on her eyebrow out of place, that she would feel it wasn't perfect. It was out of place. So she would play with it until she actually plucked it out. And then she almost had no eyebrows. But every one of them were very extreme perfectionists, and it showed in their handwriting.
Perfectionists in handwriting. Let's briefly review that for those people that may not get that. What would that look like?
All of them, for one thing, was very tiny handwriting, and when they wrote on a blank piece of paper, you could put a ruler under it, and it was almost perfectly straight as if they had a line there, and their eyes were dotted right over the eye. Everything just went along with being perfect, and it was usually very, very small, tiny handwriting as well.
Doesn't being a perfectionist get kind of anxiety-ridden?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and a lot of the reasons that they would have this hair pulling was it would be triggered when they would have anxious at work or something traumatic, or one lady that was in college right before test anxiety would always begin the hair pulling.
Is anxiety a common problem for people to seek a psychiatrist, psychologist, or hypnotherapist?
Yes. Now, if the anxiety is really severe, that's where, as a hypnotist, I do refer them to a licensed psychologist or psychotherapist. But if it's to the point where we could term the anxiety more in terms of a challenge, that they're just having trouble dealing with these challenges, if it's just to that level where it can be dealt with in a hypnosis session and through handwriting analysis, then yes, then I see them there in my office.
Yeah, I've actually told people to write sloppier because their anal retentive quality was driving me crazy too. and they're looking like, are you serious? But if I write sloppier, that's bad. I'm like, well, according to who? According to your third grade teacher? I mean, how long has she been dead? And, you know, and you see this look in her face like, wow, you mean it's okay to write sloppy? Well, it's a model of their world. Everything is in place. Their clothes and their hair and their eyebrows and their sock drawer.
Mm-hmm.
They all have this sort of compulsion to make everything rigid and organized. And I think you really described it well. Straight baseline plus small writing, which, of course, is a little more introverted socially, which makes them less confident, actually. Plus, eye dots that are on top, attention to detail. This is exactly the kind of stuff that I'll be teaching when I'm on stage, is how do you stack traits together to equal a personality style or something as an advanced trait. Because any of those separately have different meanings, including the straight baseline. But you combine them together, now you've got, you know, what you would almost call clinical, you know, obsessive compulsive or at least, you know, anxious ridden. And sure, you could do graphotherapy, but I would much rather spend an hour in hypnosis with them, because I think you could address the root cause a lot faster than just a little bit more gestalt with the graphotherapy.
And also with the perfectionist, the writing is typically with all my trichotillomania cases, been just straight up and down, you know, showing hardly any emotion at all, just straight up and down, and like you said, kind of pretty much reserved. Because they have a low self-esteem anyway, not like most of the, one particular case that came to me 5 or 6 times, a college girl that had very low self-esteem. She had no social activity because she was so just timid about every part of her life. And I asked her to begin to write larger. And it was very hard for her to do that. She had to force herself to do it. And through the course of 5 sessions, she was writing larger. By the end of her 5th session, she was writing much larger, and her hair had already begun to grow back. It was just an awesome thing to see that happen.
And again, most, I will probably never on tape or in our CDs say, you know, have people write larger or change your slant. However, when I'm talking to a group of therapists or professionals, I'll say, you know, there can be a lot of benefit to this, especially if they're being supervised. Because there's, you know, it shakes their world at a foundation of what they're used to by changing their slant or their size. So if you have some kind of supervision from someone that trusts, or you're a therapist yourself, I think it can be a very profound change. But only do it if you're supervising or if you're getting supervised, because it really can rock their whole perception of who they are and what the world is made of, don't you think?
Yes, and Bart, I will only give them, especially for the first session, typically we'll just give them one change to make. Usually it's like raising their T-bar or taking their T-bar to the top, or either the fear of success, the downward, and at the most 2, really small. And the only time that I deal with slants or in any way, anything major, like writing bigger, things like that, or writing messier, is when someone's been coming to me for many sessions. Maybe I don't see as much change as they would like to see, and then I would like to see, and then I begin to make those suggestions of like writing bigger or change your slant. Because you're right, those should be later on in the sessions, not right away. That's too much of a change right up front.
Yeah, and also, if somebody's listening and has not been to a seminar or sound professional, I recommend one change at a time. I've had people send me emails or handwritten letters or faxes that say, look, Bart, I've read your books, and I've changed 12 things today. You know, you're like, this person looks like a circus. You know, it's like this very contrived, slow, crazy handwriting where people are raising their T-bars and they're making wavy T-bars because somewhere they read that maybe they're going to be funny. And no, you know, just do one thing at a time and let it integrate, because it's like It's like going with somebody that's doing weight loss, and the first day you say, okay, great, let's get up at 6, let's juice, let's get work today, let's go run 10 miles, let's hit the weight, let's start changing your diet. I mean, everything the same day, the person's going to go into complete overload and shock and probably won't stick with the program.
Yes. And that's one thing, too, is with my sessions, and it's not that it has to work this way or it has to be this way with all hypnotists, but for me, I like to recommend that the client waits approximately 3 to 4 weeks between each session, and that's because you've always heard that it takes about 21 to 30 days to create a new habit. So if I give them something to change, to change their T-bar, and to begin to exercise or some type of change, I want it to become a new habit before they come back to see me so that I've allowed it a chance to soak into their subconscious mind and not just come back in a week and say, well, how's it going? Well, everything's great. Well, you can make a change on a temporary basis for about a week or two. And that's only from a conscious level, though. But I will always want to know what affected them on a subconscious change. And then in 3 to 4 weeks, I'll know what level it's coming from.
It's really interesting. So, which is kind of counterintuitive to a purely business model, because wouldn't it be more profitable to see someone every week? But that's not your purpose. Your purpose is to have the long-lasting change.
Right. Long-term change.
So do you normally see people on a 3-week cycle or a 2-week cycle, or does it depend on what's going on?
3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks.
Wow, now, that's really interesting.
If for some reason, sometimes I've had people come in for a fear of flying, and they've waited to the point where that they cannot get two sessions in before they have to go on this flying trip. And in a case like that, I will make an exception because that's going to really help them to get at least two sessions in before they take this flying trip. But if they have time, I still, again, ask them to wait 3 weeks between. And typically, a fear of flying, any type of fear of anything like that, is two sessions, and usually they're done.
Yeah, I've noticed with phobia work, it's also many times the phobia, sure, from neuro-linguistic program or hypnosis, is really quick, and they can go test it almost immediately when they leave the clinic.
Yes.
I mean, they can go out and drive across bridges or you know, go on top of a tall building, and they should be able to test it. So you should get pretty quick feedback on that. It's the longer habits, such as changing their diet or changing their exercise,
yes,
or even smoking. You know, people can always, usually the first couple of days, you know, not smoke just out of pure willpower. But that weekend when they start drinking a couple times, and then that's,
yeah,
when they test whether it's stuck or not.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Now, I'm going to ask you one more question, and we'll open up for the questions. You had hypnotic phrases, which is a phrase that you use. Can you explain, let me give a website first, and hypnotic phrases. For those of you that are really interested in hypnotic phrases, there's a course that I've published. It's called createchemistry.com. Now, it's a course on relationships, but within that course was probably the most I've ever taught on how to use embedded commands and language in the context of relationships. So if you're single, you'll really love it. If you're not single, you'll just use it as research. That's probably the most condensed course I've ever written on hypnotic phrases. Now, that's not in the context of a therapist. When you say hypnotic phrases, what do you mean by that, and how do you use it, especially in the context of handwriting?
How I use it sounds very simple, but just to start off, by giving you an example of how our subconscious mind works. Anything that is rhythmic or has rhyme to it, and anything like alliteration is going to stick into our subconscious mind, because our conscious mind will throw things out, but anything that you can get past that point and go into your subconscious mind, you're going to remember it. Here's an example. 30 days has September, April, June, and November. Why do we remember that? I learned it in the third grade. Because it has rhyme and it has rhythm. And here's another thing that our subconscious mind loves, alliteration. That's why instead of just saying raise your T-bar, I will say take your T-bar to the top. Now, see, consciously, they don't know what I'm doing. I don't have to tell them that I'm using alliteration and using a lot of words that start with T's. But it's kind of rhythmic. It's your subconscious mind likes that kind of thing. It just sinks into it automatically without any trying to do it. Take your T-bar to the top. Take your T-bar to the top. Repetition, I use that even in the session to their subconscious mind. Now, here's one other one. There's several more that I'm going to give at the conference, but the first one that I use the most is the alliteration and then anaphoric sentences. What I mean by that are sentences that are consecutive sentences that start with the same wording in the beginning. For example, before I tell you some of the ones that I use, just to give you one that everybody heard of, this is a good example of anaphoric sentences in a famous speech. Martin Luther King, I have a dream that one day, I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, I have a dream that one day. So he had several sentences consecutively that started with, I have a dream. Now years and years later, we still remember it. So I want my clients to do the same thing with what I'm saying and telling them. And they want it to happen too. So I say, do you want to take control of your life? And then also that's even adding more power to it by giving them an arcing question. Ask them a question that you know they're going to say yes to. And then you say another sentence with the same wording at the front. Do you want to take your weight down? Do you want to wear a size 6? All of those they're going to say yes to, and every one of them starts with, do you want to, do you want to, do you want to. That's all hypnotic phrasing going right into their subconscious mind even before they're in a hypnotic state.
I was just taking notes.
Oh.
I mean, this is really interesting thing. And I imagine you could also use this from the stage. You could use this with your friends and, of course, even in handwriting. You know, I'm kind of like the other girl on the phone that we talked to a minute ago. She, you know, I use these separately, but when I'm using handwriting, I don't always use hypnotic phrases to deliver it. Sometimes I do. I'm like, you know, you can raise your self-image, and I'll go into more of a hypnotic embedded command that says, now, when you write from now on, you'll discover that as you cross your T-bar higher, you're feeling good about yourself. Like, it occurs to me in a couple situations that, well, I'm telling them anyway, I might as well embed the command that they're going to feel great when they put their T-bar on top, or they're going to feel great. And that, I think, is effective. And, of course, it's nothing that they understand consciously. But, hey, we're opening our mouth. We know how to use hypnosis. Why not help somebody in the process of doing it? You know, you might as well use both of them if you can.
Yes. Because you said in that phrase, not if you do this, this will happen. You said when you do this, this will happen.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I make the assumption that they're going to go ahead and do it. You know, absolutely. And I'm not embarrassed by that. I think they should do it, you know. I think people should invest the time to change their life. I think they should invest the time to learn these skills. And it doesn't bother me at all to be real bold about it and say, hey, you know what, spend the time, spend the money, you know, make it a priority to learn these skills because it's helped me and it's helped you, it's helped other people. Okay, Deborah, I'm going to open for questions. I'm going to give a couple of websites here before I open the phones up since it may have some phones here. You have the page with Deborah's face on it if you have the PDF file. On there, there's a couple of websites that I want you to pay attention to. First of all, handwritinguniversity.com/preview. That, of course, is where you ask the questions. After that, you put a slash, and here's a couple of places. preview/specials.html. That's where you find special things. I think there's the graphotherapy. There's a link to the weight loss thing. Those are just discounts that are only available for people that are on the call or that registered. The one place you'll want to pay special attention to is handwritinguniversity.com/preview/super, S-U-P-E-R. And last week we made an offer and we didn't have people take up on it. We still have a couple of those seats available. We put 10 seats for this ticket up for the Dallas conference with the following offer. You can bring a friend absolutely free, which is a $600 value, and we'll send you entire copies of last year's conference, which is another $600 or $597. So almost $1,400 in almost $1,194 in bonuses if you'll sign up from the phone call. Also, you'll notice that if you go to the website with the seminar, which is myhandwriting.com/seminar or something, you know the price is $535 today. Your price is $497 for being here, plus you get the bonuses. Deborah, I don't know if I need to be a hypnotist to convince them to take us up on that deal. Have any embedded commands to throw in, now would be a good time. If they're not going to take us up on that, I think if they wait, they'll end up paying almost over $500. They won't get the DVDs, and they won't get someone to come for free.
Well, an excellent way to say it is just using the what I call the more statement, M-O-R-E. The more you listen to what Bart is telling you, the more you're going to want to take advantage of this.
Perfect. And that is, and you are being hypnotized now, and we have no shame in letting you know that. That's good. Okay, the other one is preview/register_thanks.html. That is also on your sheet there, and that's also some related specials there, too. Okay, one more thing. I'll open up the call. We've got a few more minutes. The word, if you guys are keeping track, if you're listening to us via tape, if you are and the specials are already gone, I apologize for that, but if you listen to it via internet, it's okay. If you listen via tape and you're tracking down all the words, because at the end of these 10 seminars, these 10 preview seminars, we'll give away 3 prizes worth about $1,000 each. The special word for today is hypnotic. Hypnotic is the word, because every speaker, we've had a special word. They're going to mail those 10 words in, and if you know if we've got only one person, well, then they win. But if we've got 10 or 12, we're going to do a drawing to do that. So let me open the floor for questions.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Good. Hello, everybody. Can everybody hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Good. Any questions about the offer or the ticket or the bonuses that I'd offered to get you to Dallas before we move on?
I have one.
Yes.
Well, I have hypnotic as the first word you gave on the first, well, the one your dad was working on.
Really?
Yes. You've already given that word.
And am I not allowed to give it twice?
Okay, never mind. Never mind. The other thing is that I brought a friend. I mean, I signed up with a friend back in like October or November. Do I get those tapes too?
You call Marianne and she will work it out so that you are happy as a lark.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. We always want to take care of, especially our early bird customers. Now, if you paid like $12, you can't. But if you know if it's a similar deal, we definitely want you to have them. And quite honestly, I really want you guys to have last year's CDs and DVDs, because I really want everyone up to speed so that I can talk advanced stuff. I mean, I'm just so excited about giving advanced things, because I think some of my basic material has been covered quite thoroughly in the DVDs and the tapes from our certification courses. So, great question. Deborah, did you want to mention anything about that one handwriting sample that you gave as part of the class? We did cover both of those in discussing the Y's, turning down, and the T's.
The one with the future vision?
Yes, this future vision of yourself and emotions, and then also they got something called backwards writing.
Oh, yes, just one other thing about the future vision where the lady wrote down her future vision of herself. I noticed right away that she was going to be sensitive to criticism because of her loops in her D's and some loops in her T's. So right away that told me to change some of the ways I would say things. For another person, I may say, well, you are maybe eating too much chocolate or something. I would, put the blame on them. I would not put the blame on them, but they would see it that way. So with a person like that that's sensitive to criticism, right away you're going to want to say it in a different way, like, well, I guess your schedule is making it very hard for you to exercise. So put the blame on their schedule or their work or their lifestyle. So they're not going to get defensive right away, shutting off any success for their session. So that's the only other thing I wanted to say about that particular handwriting sample.
Very good point.
What about the S's? Yeah, how about the S's?
The what now?
S's?
The S's?
You circled S's that were a figure eight.
I circled some of the S's and the F's because it showed the fluidity of thought.
Oh.
Uh-huh. That's why I circled some of the S's and the F's to show that she was going to be very... See, that showed me that she'll be very receptive to imagery, so she could follow my imagery, and I could use lots of descriptive imagery during the hypnosis session.
Those S's look a lot like G's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some of the S's, yeah.
Like a figure eight.
Yes, the figure eight showing the fluidity of thought, absolutely, yes. And so with her, it was very good for her. I used the progressive relaxation with lots of imagery, and it worked very well, very quickly. She loved it.
that is one of the traits of intelligence. It's one of the, if you stack those traits together, that cursive S, that figure eight S, is one of the signs of intelligence.
And her M shows quick thinker, too. Her
sorry, which shows quick thinker?
I'm sorry?
What shows a quick thinker?
Oh, the her M's and the N's, how they're kind of pointed at the top.
I missed what you had said about the Y turning down. I didn't hear that.
Oh, okay. Her Y's turned down, not all of them, but see the some of the ones I circled?
Yes.
At the bottom it says any pain, the word any, the Y turned down. That shows that she had the fear of success. She didn't have quite the belief there that it was the sessions were going to be successful for her. Maybe she hoped they were, but even if they were, she had the fear of the success. Did that answer the question?
Yes.
Okay.
What about the straight down-wise on specific words like my and healthy?
Oh, let's see. The ones like my...
my
oh,
chin?
The one on the my-wise still turned down as well. They were turning... That was the main thing when I circled them because that was still showing the fear of success. On the mice, the Y still turned down after she came up and made the loop.
Oh, I was looking at, like, where it says my shin, I am
oh, yes.
healthy, and my body.
Yes. Those now, I noticed that, too. I did not circle it, but, see, it found I found out later in the interview that she likes to meditate. Now, she's a very social person, but she has to have her alone time. So that shows to me that sometimes she makes a loop, sometimes it's straight down. Sometimes she's social. Sometimes she has to have her alone time.
Hmm. Okay.
And do I have time to talk about the loop on the backward thing?
Let me.
I have something really quick.
Oh.
I notice sometimes there's a difference in the pressure on the upstroke versus the downstroke. Is that significant?
The upstroke versus the downstroke?
Like on an L, it might be a stronger up. It may be a stronger downstroke than an upstroke.
I'm not really sure. How would you answer that, Bart?
No, I don't think there's a significance, although if you just took the theory, the upstrokes would have to do with a more energy toward philosophical and ideas versus downstroke being physical. So if there's a problem with their physical energy level or weight issues, it would be a lack of going into the lower zone. But that's strictly based on theory. I have a lot of experience to relate to that.
Okay. Well, I wasn't talking about the lower zone. I was talking about, like, say, for instance, a small L. So that would be maybe a light upstroke and then a strong downstroke.
Yeah. I have not seen any research to let us know what that means.
Okay.
But we'll ask that again because there'll be 10 other people that might have an answer for us. In Dallas. Good. I'm going to continue to ask questions, but what I first want to do is ask, I'm going to give one more URL, and then we're going to end the recording so when people can listen to this, it does stay around an hour. I mentioned a couple of things about weight loss, double your income hypnosis, and stop smoking. Jay told me that they're all here on this URL, and they're all on special, which is good. It's the henryuniversity.com/preview/register_thanks.html. That's also in the very first page of your PDF. But if you're interested in looking more about those hypnosis products, those are there. If Jay, you'll end the recording. Deborah, hang on. Everybody hang on a second. We can answer a few more questions after we stop the recording. So we'll hold for just half a second here. We'll end that up, and then we'll take a few more questions, and we'll go into our overtime because Deborah's so generous.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, guys, any other questions for Deborah or me relating to the handwriting samples or hypnosis or anything?
The F off of the second line to the last, the very last word on the F is circled. Triangular looking F.
You're looking at the sample client, future vision of yourself.
Where it says my body moves freely and free, and then of that triangular
okay.
of.
Oh yes, the on freely. On the word freely, you mean?
I thought that was free of. Okay.
Oh, I circled some of the F's that were made that way mm-hmm. to show that she's when she's going double, she doubles back
right.
over the stem of it, then it moves back to the right, showing persistence, which would be a good thing for the session because she's going to be persistent with the program. That's it. That's what I circled that because some of them I didn't circle all of them, but I was noticing that most of her F's, they double back and then they come back to the right, showing persistence.
I also see that F as, since F is sort of our symbol for organization, the upper loop being organized as far as thoughts, the lower loop being let's just shut up and get to it and take action.
Mm-hmm.
She's very action-oriented, so she is going to actually do it. So if you help her plan ahead, she'll be one to really get to it. I have very similar Fs, and I start a lot of projects. I like to get to it. So it's also a good trait, and probably a little bit fluid as well because that's such a fluid stroke.
Yes. And also, some of her T's were the ones that were just beginning vertically, and beginning vertically like in the word thin, and that showed me that she likes to get to the point. She'll want me to get to the point. Even when I talk to her, I talk to her in that way. I get to the point. I was very direct.
Coming to get you, somebody.
I have a question on the emotion under happy.
Huh?
Oh.
Just the PPY, how there's no signature, and it's just straight down.
The Y straight down, or the P's and the Y straight down?
Oh, the PP and the Y, and it's actually the P's sort of closed.
Yeah, well, the P's are retraced for sure, and then the Y itself is straight down, which are different. Deborah, you want to take a shot at that one?
Well, I noticed that most of her P's, that's one thing that I noticed that was a little bit odd, that most of her P's are like the P in the proud that's underneath that, very wide, kind of a wide loop in the P. And then in the word happy, though, they were very narrow and just straight down. And honestly, I wasn't really quite sure how to interpret just that one particular time when she wrote that one happy.
Maybe she's afraid to be happy.
Yeah, that would be interesting theory to see if maybe, is she wondering if she really can be happy or...
Yeah.
Maybe she's just happier alone, which I think some people can relate to.
What's writing backward?
Oh, okay. I had a client in my office just a couple of weeks ago that we were talking about handwriting and everything. She was getting really excited about it, and she said, you know what, ever since I was in grade school, I could write backwards. And I thought she meant at first like a backwards slant, and she meant, well, no, just like when you would hold it up to a mirror, then you could read it straight forward. I could write backwards. I said, really? Can you do that right now? Just show me, give me an example. Because what I immediately thought was, wow, I wonder if some of the same strokes are going to show up writing backwards as forward. And the main thing I was going to look for is she also had that in her Y's where it comes up and then it goes down like fear of success. And then she wrote it backwards, and I kind of enlarged the word silly monkey to show you how that the Y in silly, even written backwards, goes down. And the Y in monkey is headed downward if she were to follow through. So even when she had to think a little bit more about how she was writing it, she still had that subconscious fear of success in the Y's.
Well, that's interesting. Thank you.
Yeah.
Miss Deborah?
Yes.
My son is now seeing a counselor. He's in specialized, he's a general clinical psychological, neuropsychological compensatory forensic evaluation and therapeutic services.
Wow.
I know. Well, I have been for almost a year and a half, nearly 2 years now, convincing my son that handwriting graphotherapy will help him. And then I took him to this counselor, and this counselor totally shot down everything I had to say in the last year and a half, 2 years.
Wow.
So now, what do I do?
How old is your son?
12.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to be said for counseling with the conscious mind, but at the same time, to make a whole person, you've got the subconscious mind and the conscious mind. It's like physical doctors that just deal with part of your body as if that's all you had, not thinking of that you have an entire whole body. So to me, if you don't deal with the conscious mind too, which is dealing with handwriting, that you're not dealing with the whole picture. You're just dealing with things in parts.
Sounds like he's just in the subconscious neuropsychology or something.
Well, here's the way I would handle that. First of all, are you paying that bill for that doctor?
Kind of, sort of.
I'd pull him aside and say, look, here's the deal. I'm paying you. You can't make me look like an ass in front of my son.
Yeah.
So even if you don't believe this, whatever prejudice you happen to have or whatever lack of knowledge you happen to have, you can't say, no, this is crazy in front of me, because you're now pulling out my authority.
Okay.
Now, you don't have to believe it, but you can't tell him it's stupid.
Okay.
And if you don't believe it, then I can get you on the phone with the top guys in the country. One of my friends is on CNN every couple of weeks, Bart Baggett. Now, have you been on CNN? I mean, you don't have to fight him, but say, look, I just want you to acknowledge maybe there's something you don't know. But what you can't do is, you know, usurp my authority, because I'm telling him you're the best or I wouldn't be paying you. You know what I mean? You're building him up, right?
Oh, yes, sir.
He should build you up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
and if he's not willing to do that, you can go get another counselor, and you're going to cost him his Mercedes payment.
Yes, I'm glad you said that, Bart, because that's exactly what I was thinking, but you said it.
But don't do that in front of the child, because it's an agreement that you have between parent and counselor saying, look, you know, you got to scratch my book, I'm going to scratch yours.
Okay.
Just because you're ignorant on something does not mean you're right.
Okay.
Just because you've got a title longer than my leg does not mean that you're always right.
Okay.
And the same person in 1950 had the same arrogance, and it's annoying. So, you know, and I think if you threaten to pull some money out of his pocket, he may apologize. So, you know what? I don't know about that. I've never, Mr. Baggett, spoke on pathotherapy. I've never actually attended a conference. And because I haven't, maybe I don't know everything. But you're right. You will find a lot of institutional arrogance with a lot of psychologists, psychiatrists, and all you have to do is calling out the fact that they don't know what they're talking about and you know, and threaten their pocketbook. So sorry, Deborah, it's just kind of a point. I don't get it much, but when I do get it, it's kind of annoying.
Oh, I'm getting so much flack. So him and I will have a private conversation then.
Yep.
Definitely. Cause I don't
and give him my number if you want. Come on. I'm sure not scared of him.
Good for you, Bart.
Thank
I'm not scared of nothing. You meet my dad. Twice
well, thanks. I appreciate the encouragement.
You're welcome.
A lot. And the free teleseminars and everything you've done for us thus far.
You're welcome. I hope to get to see you in Dallas. I can't explain how much more we're going to be able to give you once we get you there.
Oh, I would love to come, but I will not be able to.
Well, we sometime in the next couple of weeks, we're actually doing some things. We're going to give away some free tickets. If people don't use them, we're going to put them up for scholarships. So if you guys are really, you know, unable to make it, let Marianne know. And if we get free tickets, we'll look at that scholarship list and see if we can't get you there.
Oh, I'm afraid that might go to waste, too, because I couldn't even do the airfare.
Oh, too bad.
I know. I'm planting seeds out there in the garden yesterday and today, so.
That's all right. We can get you the tapes, so that's no problem.
Well, I'm working hard at everything. My site's up, and everything's going good for me.
Good for you. Okay. Deborah, I am about wrapped up. I'm also on an appointment. Do you have any final comments or closing questions that you want to add to these great people? Plug your website again so they can get a hold of you if they're listening to this via MP3 later down the line.
Well, the website is hypnosisforrealsolutions.com, and I hope that you'll, as many people as possible, just come to the conference, because there's so many more just really fun things about hypnotic phrasing that'll just some things that you haven't thought of, that way that you can, things that you can even use in interviews or if you're trying to sell a product, or just hypnotic language in general is just amazing to me. I'm going to go into that more depth in the conference.
Very cool. And if you're listening to this on MP3 after the conference is already over, well, then jump on the website that you saw this is and go ahead and get the DVDs and the CDs, and you'll get to see Deborah's lecture as well as a lot of the breakout sessions that we'll be doing. Everybody, thank you so much for your time and generosity of spending time with us. Our next seminar is in a couple of weeks. We'll be talking about making money with handwriting analysis from Mr. Bob Beyer. Check your emails for the time and dates of that. And everybody, again, thank you very much and good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Bart.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.